Okay, so we will be reading now from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 18, verses 25 to 48. Verse 25. Vanaprastha shama padeshva bhikshanam bhaikshama charet sangsidhyatyas vasammoha shurasatra shivam pasam. One in the vanaprastha order of life should always practice taking charity from others, for one is thereby freed from illusion and quickly becomes perfect in spiritual life. Indeed, one who subsists on food grains obtained in such a humble manner purifies his existence. Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjaya Shalakaya Chakshuni Tamyena Tasanai Shigave. What do you remember from the last class? It's good to be Krishna conscious. Otherwise you have to perform severe austerities. You're a materialistic person. Enter into the fire at the end of your life as a vanaprastha. Yes?
If one doesn't have the danda or control of the mind or prana and words and desires, then one's external danda is a show.
So if one does not have the internal danda, controlling body, mind, words, desires, then the external danda is just a show. And we also learned from Lila Shuka that you get tested and when you're on the list and when you first take sannyas, at least. Yes. Okay. Yes. Okay, it is possible to go back to Godhead from other planets, such as Mahar Loka. So we'll go to the purport. In the Western countries, people are generally so dull, they cannot distinguish between a saintly beggar and an ordinary hobo or hippie. The saintly beggar is constantly engaged in authorized devotional service to the Supreme Lord and accepts only what he requires for his bare maintenance. The author of this book remembers entering the Krishna conscious society as an arrogant university student and being quickly humbled by the process of begging on the street on behalf of Krishna. This is Haridayananda Maharaj. This process is not theoretical but actually purifies one's existence by forcing one to offer respect to all others. Unless one offers respect to others, one's begging will be fruitless. Yes. Also, by begging, one will not often eat very sumptuously. This is good, because when the tongue is controlled, the other senses are quickly pacified. A vanaprastha should never give up the purifying process of begging for his food, and ordinary people should not foolishly equate a lazy bum living at the cost of others with a saintly beggar engaged in higher duties for the Supreme Lord. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says, if a materialistic sense enjoyer aspires to free himself from material entanglement, he must engage in begging alms for his subsistence because this will force him to humble himself before others. When one becomes free from all desires for material enjoyment, in this way he no longer remains a fool. He learns to be satisfied with whatever he collects by begging, and because of the purity of his heart, he attains perfection. Verse 26, one should never see his ultimate reality, those material things which obviously will perish. With consciousness free from material attachment, one should retire from all activities meant for material progress in this life and the next. So don't think that this world is the things, the material things like house and family are ultimate reality. Vishwanath. So Vishnu asks the question, well, how can one give up sweets and develop an inclination for coarse grains collected from the field? So the vanaprastha gives up the sweets of grihastha life and has to go collect discarded grains. So Vishnu asks that question. And then he answers, one should not see things like food substantial. Okay, so that's what we have to see that's not substantial. The food, prasad. Of course, prasad is eternal. Since they will be destroyed, being unattached to this world and the next. One should become disinterested in activities to attain those things. Oh, now, he has, now, Satyaraj has an interesting comment. The topmost devotees are mindful of the rules and regulations of scripture, but do not let them rule their lives. Well, that's an interesting. Rather, such devotees function according to a higher love. Niyamagraha, one should not be attached to rules and regulations without deep understanding. So that was his. There's all these rules and regulations for vanaprastha and sannyas life. So, but the main thing is to be attached to Krishna. Now we're going back to the Sankhya philosophy and the Jnana Yoga. One should logically consider the universe, verse 27, which is situated within the Lord, and one's own material body, which is composed of mind, speech, and life air, to be ultimately products of the Lord's illusory energy. For situated in the self, one should give up one's faith in these things, and should never again make them the object of one's meditation. So faith in two things should be given up. And what are those two things? No, that's one.
Universe
is one, and our body is another thing that we should not have faith in. Definitely when you get old, it will betray you. And your mind, your false ego will betray you. They will not be your friend. You think they're our friends, but actually it's not. Now, who are the two categories beyond the rules? Verse 28. A learned transcendentalist dedicated to the cultivation of knowledge and thus detached from external objects, or my devotee, who is detached even from desire for liberation, both neglect those duties based on external rituals or paraphernalia. Thus, their conduct is beyond the range of rules and regulations. So the Jnani and the devotee who are detached, they are above the rules. The devotee who is detached and the Jnani who is detached. One who has detachment, he's beyond the rules. If you're detached from this material world, then you don't have to follow the rules of karmakanda. And their conduct is also beyond the range of rules and regulations. So purport, this verse describes the Paramahansa stage of life, in which there is no further need for rituals, external paraphernalia, or rules and regulations. Completely realized Jnana Yogi, pursuing liberation, or beyond that, a perfect devotee of the Lord, who does not desire even liberation, has no further desire for material engagement. When one completely purifies the mind, there is no possibility of sinful behavior. Rules and regulations are meant for guiding those who have a tendency to act in ignorance or for personal gratification. But one who is perfect in spiritual consciousness can move freely, as described here by the Lord. One who tends to drive a car recklessly or who is unfamiliar with the local road conditions certainly needs the discipline of elaborate road signs and police enforcement of traffic laws. A perfectly safe driver, however, is thoroughly familiar with the local road conditions. However, if you're an Indian driving in America, then you really need the rules, because there's no stop signs in India. And whenever you go for your driving test, that's what my son, he failed that because he went through the stop sign, because there's no stop signs in India. And my friend who's an Indian, she also failed that on her driving test. Because as I said, yes, the rules are for Indians. they have to learn about stop signs in the West. And it means you have to stop. In India, if you see a stop sign, it doesn't mean anything. You just keep going. They have them now. I watched my driver. I was watching. There was a stop sign, and right through. Yes?
That happened a few years, two or three years ago in England. They started enforcing speed laws.
Oh.
And there were thousands of people with so many points on their license, millions actually, they were going to be banned. And so they realized that they made a mistake, and so they started re-educating people.
Oh.
They got so many points, the police took them into providing they weren't gross offenders, and trained them, follow the highway code again.
Yeah, they have to train them. Yeah, I was, where is it, Denmark or one, Sweden? I think it was Denmark or Sweden, one of those countries. One day they decided to change from going on one side of the right to the left, or
Sweden.
Left to the right. Was it Sweden?
Yeah.
Yeah, at one point in their history, recent history, they decided to change the side of the road where you're supposed to go. So many accidents are happening. And yeah.
I came from Sweden beginning of December, and there was Amarendra coming in. He's Indian, but he's living in Sweden now for some time, and he did his driver's
exam
to get a license. He had to do it 5 times.
Yeah, there was one Indian, he told me, he took his test in South Africa, and he was going the wrong way on the road, and driving with a police officer next inside the car with him. He said, "Sir, what are you doing?" It takes a while to adjust to rules. Like in India, there's no rules. The biggest gets the... Of course, now they're trying more. There was a joke. First is the cow, then there's who gets the right of way. Then comes the biggest truck and buses, and then it goes down. And the pedestrians are on the last, on the lowest list. Okay, so let's see. A perfectly safe driver, he has no real need for the enforcement officials or the speed limits and caution signs meant for those unfamiliar with the road. So we have this experience. A pure devotee of the Lord desires nothing except service to the Lord. He automatically fulfills the purport of all negative and positive injunctions, which is to always remember Krishna and never forget him. One should, however, artificially imitate the exalted position of a Paramahansa devotee, for such imitation will quickly ruin one's spiritual career. Not that we think, oh, good, now I don't have to follow the rules anymore. And we did have that a lot in the early days of the movement, that they thought they didn't have to follow the rules of the road or the land or anything, but they quickly found out they did. In the previous verses, the Lord has elaborately described various rituals, paraphernalia, and disciplines for the various spiritual orders of life. The sannyasi, for example, carries a tridanda and a water pot and eats and lives in a particular way. A Paramahansa devotee, having completely given up all attachment and interest in the material world, is no longer attracted by such external features of renunciation. So the Paramahansa, he has a different... he has no rules. Like he doesn't have to follow these rules. Now, Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Bhakti Aloka comments, he quotes this verse, and he says a very interesting thing, that the first symptom of one who has attained shraddha is surrender to the feet of Lord Krishna. And that surrender is of two types, for the householders and for the renunciates. So two types of surrenders. For those who are... This is Bhakti Loka 4. Sri Bhakti Loka 4. And interesting, he says, Hari Bhakti Vilas mentions only those rules that are meant for householders. Surprise! So Hari Bhakti Vilas is for householders, grihasthas. That is why observances such as Shiva Chaturdashi are given therein. The surrendered renunciate should follow whichever observances are appropriate for renunciates. Both the householder and renunciate become unalloyed, surrendered souls while advancing on the path of sadhana. Then their rules are only slightly different. At that stage, they attain ultimate surrender due to advancement in sadhana. And then he quotes this verse of Srimad Bhagavatam, verse 28, which is also quoted in the Hari Bhakti Vilas.
Is it
Sri Bhaktivinoda Thakur. When one becomes a pure devotee of the Lord, devotion is spontaneously established in his heart. What then is the need to observe rituals that simply obstruct one's devotional service? Okay. And yes. So this is for the Paramahansas. 29. Although most wise, the Paramahansa should enjoy... So, okay, here's different instructions in case you're a Paramahansa. Although most wise, the Paramahansa should enjoy life like a child, so you don't show your learning. Oblivious to honor and dishonor. Although most expert, he should behave like a stunted, incompetent person. Although most learned, he should speak like an insane person. And although a scholar learned in Vedic regulations, he should behave in an unrestricted manner. So this was Jadabharat. Purport: a Paramahansa sannyasi, fearing that his mind may be deviated by the tremendous prestige that people sometimes offer to a perfectly self-realized person, conceals his position as described in this verse. A self-realized person does not try to please the mass of people, nor does he desire social prestige, since the mission of his life is to remain detached from the material world and to always please the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So sometimes Prabhupada, he would get angry, right in the middle of even the TV crew was there one time, and he got angry, and he was shouting at the devotees, and they were filming it. They were filming everything. It's not that he was concealing his position, he was just being himself. But he does not try to please the mass of people. Although neglecting ordinary rules and regulations, a Paramahansa does not ever become sinful or immoral, but rather neglects ritualistic aspects of religious custom, such as dressing in a particular way, performing certain ceremonies, or executing specific penances and austerities. Was it Shudhakirti? I think he told one time Srila Prabhupada had to stop at Bangkok, and he decided he wanted to have a shower. So he went into the washroom, and he filled up, he was taking lotas, he got his lota out, and he was taking from the wash basin and having a shower right in the floor, and the attendant was getting really angry, and he was shouting at him in whatever language they speak. But Prabhupada didn't care, and he just had his shower, and he went out of the bathroom. And Shudhakirti was thinking, boy, that person doesn't know how fortunate he is to clean up the water from the pure devotee's bath. But anyway, he was not following the customs of the world sometimes, Srila Prabhupada. And as I said before, also in the airplane, he would always break the rules. He would, when they would say, now fasten your seatbelt, he would get up and go to the bathroom. Or he would eat on takeoff, eat his lunch. So he didn't, although he, you know, most of the time he would follow, but sometimes he just didn't follow the rules of the outside world. He was oblivious. Pure devotees of the Lord who had dedicated their lives to propagating the Lord's holy name must very expertly present Krishna consciousness in a way pleasing to the mass of people so they will accept it. Those who are preaching should try to make Lord Shri Krishna popular without trying to advance their personal prestige in the name of missionary progress. A Paramahansa not engaged in distributing Krishna consciousness, however, should have no attachment whatsoever to public opinion. Okay, the next verse talks about things that a Paramahansa should not do. So the last verse was do's, and now this verse is do-nots. You can be crazy, you may neglect the rules, but don't be too crazy. There are some things you should not do, even if you're a Paramahansa, in the name of concealing yourself. 30. A devotee should never engage in fruitive rituals mentioned in the Karmakanda section of the Vedas. So you should not do these ritualistic things from the Vedas, nor should he become atheistic, acting or speaking in opposition to Vedic injunctions. So you shouldn't follow them, and you shouldn't be opposed to them. Neither. You shouldn't be against them, saying, oh, these things are useless, the Vedas, we don't follow the Vedas. But at the same time, you shouldn't follow them. It's both. You don't do either. You don't criticize, and you don't follow. Even though you don't follow, you shouldn't criticize. Similarly, you should never speak like a merit logician or skeptic or take any side whatsoever in useless arguments. Don't get into debates, and don't be a gyani who like to speak endlessly. Purport: although a Paramahansa devotee conceals his exalted position, certain activities are forbidden, even for one trying to conceal himself. Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur explains that in the name of concealment, one should not become a ghost. The word Pashanda refers to atheistic philosophies opposing the Vedas, such as Buddhism, and Haituka refers to those who accept only that which can be demonstrated by mundane logic or experimentation. Don't become a scientist or a Buddhist or a gyani, logician. Since the whole purpose of the Vedas is to understand that which is beyond material experience, the skeptic's so-called logic is irrelevant to spiritual progress. Sri Jiva Goswami warns us in this regard, a devotee should not read atheistic literature even with the purpose of refining arguments against atheism. Don't read the Mayavadi books thinking, okay, now I will understand their philosophy so I can defeat it. According to, who said that, Jiva Goswami? Yes. Do not do that. Such literature should be entirely avoided. The above-mentioned prohibited activities are so detrimental to the advancement of Krishna consciousness, they should not be adopted even as a superficial show. Yes. You don't have to go overboard in concealing yourself. I mean, it's, yes.
You might start reading and think, oh, I never thought about that.
What?
So if I'm reading an atheistic philosophy, you know, we're looking to defeat him, I think, oh, I never thought about that.
Yeah, yeah. Yes. Shunile Hoi Sharanash. If you hear the Mayavad philosophy, you will certainly be destroyed. Yeah, it goes into your conscious subconscious, and then you start doubting. You may start doubting. If you get these arguments in your head, you hear what they say and say, oh yeah, maybe, yes, maybe they're right. 31. A saintly person should never let others frighten or disturb him, and similarly one should never frighten or disturb other people. So both ways. He should tolerate the insults of others and should never himself belittle anyone. He should never create hostility with anyone for the sake of the material body, for he would thus be no better than an animal. So last paragraph of the purport. A Vaishnava should never disturb any other living entity with his body, mind, or words. He should always be tolerant and never belittle others. Although a Vaishnava may act powerfully against the demons for Lord Krishna's sake, as did Arjuna, Hanuman, and many other great devotees, a Vaishnava becomes very meek and humble in regard to his own reputation. 32. The One Supreme Lord is situated within all material bodies and within everyone's soul, just as the moon is reflected in innumerable reservoirs of water. The Supreme Lord, although one, is present within everyone. Thus, every material body is ultimately composed of the energy of the One Supreme Lord. So, again, the Gyanis must have this vision. Purport, all material bodies are composed of the same material nature, which is ultimately the potency of the One Supreme Lord. Therefore, one cannot justify feelings of hostility toward any living entity. In carrying out the Lord's mission on earth, the bona fide representatives of God never become envious or hostile toward anyone, even when chastised by those who flagrantly violate the laws of God. Every living being is ultimately the Son of God, and God is present within everyone's body. Therefore, saintly persons should be very careful even when dealing with the most insignificant person or creature. So Vishwanath says about this verse, the way to avoid having enemies is described. So if you don't want to have enemies, adopt this behavior. Janata pi sunichena. And this is verse 32. So commentary of Vishwanath Chakravarti, the understanding that frees one from enviousness is being described in this verse. So this is two things. If you follow this verse, you won't have enemies, and also you won't be envious of anyone. Enemies. No enemies. You won't be envious of anyone. No envy and no enemies. The Super Soul is present within all living entities. Just as the moon, although one, is reflected in innumerable pots of water, the Super Soul, although one, is present within all living entities as the Supreme Director. Therefore, one should not envy anyone, knowing that the Supreme Lord is present within all material bodies, which are also manifestations of his energy. So we heard how Prabhupada, who was very kind to that scorpion, of course, but we cannot imitate, he's a Paramahansa. He was beyond the rules of, he saw that the scorpion's a devotee. Like, we wouldn't see like that. We would say, the scorpion's out to get me, and I better kill him before he gets me. Somebody told me they killed two scorpions. Anyway, yes. So we cannot imitate Prabhupada like that. We have to be careful of scorpions. 33. If at times one does not obtain proper food, one should not be depressed. And when one obtains sumptuous food, one should not rejoice. Being fixed in determination, one should understand both situations to be under the control of God. 34. If required, one should endeavor to get sufficient food, because it is always necessary and proper to maintain one's health. When the senses, mind, and life air are fit, one can contemplate spiritual truth, and by understanding the truth, one is liberated. There is a saying in English, the truth will set you free. So here is, they're saying the same thing. The truth will set you free. If you know the truth, you'll be free. You will be liberated. Purport, if foodstuffs do not come automatically or by token begging, then one should endeavor to keep body and soul together so one's spiritual program will not be disturbed. So that was already discussed. A brahmana can be a vaishya or a kshatriya. You can take up other duties. Normally, those who are endeavoring in spiritual life cannot maintain steady concentration on the truth if their mind and body are weakened by undereating. On the other hand, extravagant consumption of food is a great impediment for spiritual advancement and should be given up. The word ahartham in this verse indicates eating only to keep oneself fit for spiritual advancement and does not justify unnecessary collecting or warehousing of so-called alms. If one collects more than necessary for one's spiritual program, the surplus becomes a heavy weight that drags one down to the material platform. Yes, this has happened in our society. Even though in the name of people have collected in the name of Krishna consciousness, but when they get really too much, then they just lose it. I think somebody was on the Russian stock market with lots of money and everything was lost. They lost everything. And so we cannot keep a lot of money like that without spending it for Krishna. 35. A sage should accept the food, clothing, and bedding, be they of excellent or inferior quality, that come of their own accord. Well, I can't tolerate sometimes on the train what they give you. The food, the bedding on the train. That's, so, anyway. Yes, if you go in the AC cars. Purport. Sometimes excellent, sumptuous food will come without endeavor, and other times tasteless food appears. A sage should not become happily excited when a sumptuous plate is brought to him, nor should he angrily refuse ordinary food that comes of its own accord. If no food comes at all, as mentioned in the previous verse, one must endeavor to avoid starvation. From these verses, it appears even a saintly sage must have a good dose of common sense. Yes. So it's not that you say, wait until you die for the food to come. You should avoid starvation. So nothing has come to me since 1 week, therefore I will not eat. No. 36. Just as I, the Supreme Lord, execute regulative duties by my own free will, similarly, one who has realized knowledge of me should maintain general cleanliness, purify his hands with water, take bath, and execute other regulative duties, not by force, but by his own free will. So the Paramahansa always also takes bath and cleans his hands and follows the rules of cleanliness. So these are rules for the Vaishnavas. In order to conceal himself, he should not become dirty. Purport. When the Supreme Personality of Godhead descends to the material world, he generally observes the Vedic regulative duties to set a proper example for mankind. The Lord acts by his own free will, since no one can oblige, force, or impel the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Similarly, the Gyani or self-realized soul is fixed on the spiritual platform beyond the material body, should therefore execute the regulative duties in relation to the material body by his own free will and not as a servant of the rules and regulations. A self-realized soul is a servant of Lord Krishna, not of rules and regulations. Nevertheless, a transcendentalist strictly complies with regular duties for the pleasure of the Supreme Lord. In other words, one who is advanced in loving devotional service to Lord Krishna spontaneously moves according to the will of the Supreme. One who is perfectly situated in spiritual realization cannot become a servant of the material body or of rules and regulations concerning the material body. However, this verse and other similar statements in Vedic scriptures should not be ignorantly misinterpreted to justify immoral, whimsical behavior. Lord Krishna is discussing the Paramahansa stage of life, Those who are attached to the material body have nothing to do with this Paramahansa stage, nor should they exploit its unique privileges and status. So there's a certain mentality that a Paramahansa has, and there's certain behavior. And he also has to follow some rules, certain things he cannot do. So here is the mentality. 37, a realized soul no longer sees anything as separate from me, for his realized knowledge of me has destroyed such illusory perception. Since the material body and mind were previously accustomed to this kind of perception, it may sometimes appear to recur. But at the time of death, the self-realized soul achieves opulence as equal to mind. So sometimes even a realized soul will do things that you think, oh, this is not spiritual, what he's doing. This looks like he's doing something material. But he's always seeing that nothing is separate from Krishna. So here it says a little bit down, therefore even a self-realized soul may sometimes appear to accept or reject certain conditions or objects within this world. Such brief apparent duality of concentration upon something other than Krishna does not change the liberated status of a self-realized soul who achieves at the time of death the same opulence as Lord Krishna in the spiritual world. So here's a very important sentence. Next two. The function of illusion is to separate one from Lord Krishna, but the brief and occasional appearance of duality in the behavior or mentality of a pure devotee never separates him from the Lord. It does not constitute actual illusion, for it lacks the essential function of illusion, namely the separation of one from Lord Krishna. So this is the criteria for a Paramahansa, that he never sees anything separate from Krishna. And even it may appear to us outside who are not Paramahansas that he seems to be in duality, but it doesn't matter because it says, yes, sometimes it may recur, but still at the time of death he will go back to Godhead. Okay. So then Śrīla Bhakti-siddhānta Saraswati describes the self-realized devotees as follows. Devotee of the Lord does not see anything as separate from Lord Krishna and does not consider himself to be a permanent resident of the material world. At every moment, a devotee is moved by his desire to serve Lord Krishna. Just as those who are inclined to sense gratification pass their time making arrangements for their enjoyment, similarly devotees are busy throughout the day arranging their devotional service to Lord Krishna. Therefore, they have no time to act like materialistic sense enjoyers. No time to go to the movies, to the cinema. No time to read the newspapers. No time to do so many things. Because there's not enough time in the day. To ordinary persons, it may seem a pure devotee is seeing something as separate from Krishna. But a pure devotee is actually fixed in his status as a liberated soul and is guaranteed to achieve a spiritual body in the kingdom of God. Ordinary materialistic persons cannot always understand the activities of a pure devotee of the Lord, thus they may try to minimize his position, considering him to be the same as themselves. At the end of life, however, the results achieved by the devotees of the Lord and ordinary materialists are vastly different. And if you look at the lives of ordinary materialists, they die in such, like their old age is very lonely, and then they die in these horrible nursing homes where they treat them like something very, they just drug them up so they don't cause trouble. Pretty much, I saw how my mother-in-law was. They keep them on drugs so that they're detached from the world completely. They're just living in dream worlds. And they treat them like children. 38. One who is detached from sense gratification, knowing its result to be miserable, and who desires spiritual perfection, but who has not seriously analyzed the process for obtaining me, should approach a bona fide and spiritual master. So you may be detached, but you don't understand the process. Therefore, then you need a guru. 39. Until a devotee has clearly realized spiritual knowledge, he should continue with great faith and respect and without envy to render personal service to the guru who is none different from me. Purport, as stated by Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, Gavastika prayers, Yasya Prasadat Bhagavat Prasada. One receives the mercy of the Supreme Lord through the mercy of the bona fide spiritual master. Devotee who has been blessed by his guru with spiritual knowledge becomes qualified to directly engage in the mission of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Srila Prabhupada always emphasized service to the spiritual master and separation. Pushing on the mission of the guru is the highest form of devotional service. The word paricharit in this verse indicates waiting upon one's master by rendering personal service. In other words, one who has not clearly realized the teachings of his spiritual master should remain very close to the guru to avoid falling down into illusion. But one who has acquired realized knowledge by the mercy of his spiritual master may expand the spiritual master's mission by traveling around the world to preach Krishna consciousness. Yes, Prabhupada would sometimes, if devotees were having trouble, he would call them, okay, you come and travel with me. Come close to me. Verses 40 and 41. One who has not controlled the six forms of illusion, lust, anger, greed, excitement, false pride, and intoxication. That's a new one. Whose intelligence, the leader of his senses, is extremely attached to material things, who is bereft of knowledge and detachment, who adopts the sannyas order of life to make a living, who denies the worship of demigods, his own self, and the Supreme Lord within himself, thus ruining all religious principles, and who is still, that's a long sentence, who is still infected by material contamination, is deviated and lost both in this life and in the next. So one, here's how to tell if somebody is deviating from the sannyas order or deviating from devotional service. Purport. Here, Lord Krishna here condemns bogus personalities who adopt the sannyas order. Okay, it's for sannyasis. Sannyas order of life for sense gratification while still maintaining all the symptoms of gross illusion. A false show of sannyas is never accepted by intelligent followers of Vedic principles. So, cheaters and the cheated. Verse 42. Listen carefully. The main religious duties of a sannyasi are equanimity and nonviolence, whereas for vanaprastha, austerity and philosophical understanding of the difference between body and soul are prominent. Main duties of a householder are to give shelter to all living entities and perform sacrifices. And the brahmachari is mainly engaged in serving the spiritual master. Okay, don't look at your book. Main duty of a sannyasi. Yes?
Ahimsa.
Ahimsa.
Equality.
Equality. Equanimity and nonviolence.
Equanimity means...
being equal. Equal. Equality. Equal everywhere. Equal to all. For the vanaprastha.
Austerity.
Austerity and...
philosophical
understanding of difference between body and soul. So that's like a jnani. He's like, vanaprastha is in the level of a jnani, actually. There's no more karma yoga. He's a jnani now. So, okay, now the grihastha, main duty, yes?
To give shelter to all living entities and perform sacrifice.
Yajna and shelter. Brahmachari, yes?
Serving the spiritual master.
Very good. Okay, purport. The brahmachari lives in the ashram of the spiritual master and personally assists the acharya. Householders generally are entrusted with the performance of sacrifice and deity worship and should provide maintenance for all living entities. So if you're maintaining your family, you have to maintain everyone. That's for the grihastha. The vanaprastha must clearly understand difference between body and soul in order to maintain his status of renunciation and should also perform austerities. The sannyasi should fully absorb his body, mind, and words in self-realization. Having thus achieved equanimity of mind, he is the best well-wisher of all living entities. So now from Bhakti Lok 12, I don't know, SBL, that's Bhakti Lok, right? And he's talking about also for the brahmanas, study, teaching, worship, teaching worship, giving charity, and accepting charity. These six are brahmanas' occupations. Out of these, they should maintain their life by teaching worship, and accepting worship. Kshatriyas' occupations are protecting the praja by punishing miscreants and maintaining the life by taxation. Farming, protecting cows, and business are Vaishya's occupations. Only serving brahmanas is the livelihood of the shudras. The traditional occupation of those who are lower than shudras are their means of livelihood. Just their traditional occupation. From all these conclusions of Bhagavatam, it should be understood, performing devotional service to Srihari is the only purpose of life. There is no other purpose. Unless one makes the gross and subtle bodies favorable for devotional service, one cannot engage in such. There is a need for some arrangements in order to attain a favorable condition in those two bodies. So we have to think about two bodies now, not only one. We've got two. First, in order to maintain the gross body, there is a need to accumulate a house, household items, grains, and drinks. For the prosperity of the subtle body, one needs proper knowledge and proper occupation. In order to make the bodies completely favorable for devotional service, there is a need to situate them above the modes of nature. Due to the results of fruitive activities from time immemorial, whatever nature and desires a living entity develops is certainly a mixture of goodness, passion, and ignorance. By first enriching the mode of goodness, one should diminish and defeat passion and ignorance and make goodness prominent. So here is his advice to those who are in the Varnashram. When the mode of goodness is completely under the control of devotional service, then it becomes nirguna. By following this gradual process, one's body, mind, and environment become fit for devotional service. So we could see actually this in action when we saw this video of the farm, how they're trying to make everything together, body, mind, and spirit. And they work together. There is a need for varnashram dharma while a human remains in the stage of piety and impiety that are born of his nature. The main purpose of varnashram dharma is this. By gradually following varnashram dharma, a human being will become eligible to perform devotional service. So if you're already doing devotional service, then that means you have reached the goal of varnashram, varnashram dharma. If you're performing devotional service, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, then you're actually, you have transcended, you have gone beyond. 43. Now we're in the Grihasthas. A householder may approach his wife for sex only at the time prescribed for begetting children. Otherwise, the householder should practice celibacy, austerity, cleanliness of mind and body, satisfaction in his natural position, and friendship toward all living entities. So celibacy also for Grihasthas. Worship of me is to be practiced by all human beings, regardless of social or occupational divisions. So this verse is a verse that proves there should be four regulative principles, even for Grihasthas. They should follow the four regulative principles. And they should have only for begetting children and not otherwise, according to this verse. Because some people were asking, where does it say in Bhagavatam that Grihasthas should also be celibate? Actually in Gita too, it's Prabhupada says that. Brahmachari Grihastha is one who is controlled in his sex life. 44. One who worships me by his prescribed duty, having no other object of worship, who remains conscious of me as present in all living entities, achieves unflinching devotional service unto me. And so he says the Grihasthas, not only Paramahansas, Grihasthas should also follow. But then here, for everybody, if you're simply worshiping me by your prescribed duty, Krishna says, conscious of me and all living entities, then you will be in devotional service, unflinching devotional service. So this purport also says that the goal of the entire Varnashram system is service to Krishna. In any of the divisions, Varnas or Ashrams, you have to be a devotee and worship only Krishna. So although demigod worship is there, in the Vedic injunctions, you should remember, even if you're worshipping the demigod, Lord Krishna is in that heart of that demigod. And Krishna says that in Gita. Actually, it's really meant for me alone. They're offering without true understanding. So this is the point of this verse, to please Lord Krishna. And Satyaraj has an interesting comment here. All the duties of Varnashram should lead to bhakti. To the degree it is achieved, Varnashram should be embraced. And to the degree it is not achieved, it should be rejected. So if by Varnashram it is not leading you to bhakti, then you should reject that. Satyaraj Prabhu, And he quotes a verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, which upholds his what he said. That is 1.2.13. I can't remember how it starts. Remember how that verse? 1.2.13 comes after Tatsharadana Muneo. And then it's 1.2.13. Is that Shama? Atapumbijijeshasta. Varnashama vibhagasha. Swanastitasya dharmasya. Sangsidir haritoshanam. It should be to please Lord Krishna. Yeah, Shama Ivahi Kevalam, that's another one. That's back, I think, 8 or, I think, verse 8. Sang Siddhir Haditoshanam. Varnashama Vibhagasha Sang Siddhir Haditoshanam. Yes. So that is the purpose, to please Lord Krishna. He went a step further, saying, if it doesn't please Krishna, then reject it. Or if it's an impediment for your bhakti, if it's not favorable for your bhakti, then it can be rejected. That was Satyaraj Prabhu, so I don't know if that would be accepted by everyone. 45, my dear Uddhava, I am the Supreme Lord of all worlds, and I create and destroy this universe, being its ultimate cause. I am thus the absolute truth, and one who worships me with unfailing devotional service comes to me. Purport. Describe in the first canto of Bhagavatam 1-11, what does that verse say? Brahmeti paramatmeti bhagavaniti shabdite. How does it say? Varanti tat tatvavidas tattam yajnanam adayam. Krishna is realized in three features, and ultimately he is the source of everything. Lord Krishna absorbs the impersonal philosophers into the rays of his body, appears before the perfect yogis as the Lord of the heart, and ultimately brings his pure devotees back to his own abode for an eternal life of bliss and knowledge. 46. Thus, one who has purified his existence by execution of his prescribed duties, who fully understands my supreme position, and who is endowed with scriptural and realized knowledge, very soon achieves me. So he's just always, every verse, comes to me, achieves me. He must come to me. That's the goal. The purpose of Varnashram is to come to Krishna, to achieve Krishna. 47. Those who are followers of the Varnashram system accept religious principles according to authorized traditions of proper conduct. When such Varnashram duties are dedicated to me in loving service, they award the supreme perfection of life. So it is possible for someone in the Varnashram to go back to Godhead. Also, you may be following, if you dedicate your duties to Krishna in bhakti, then you can also, you could go back to Godhead while following Varnashram. And that's what he advised Arjuna to do. Purport. According to Varnashram system, the members of different orders and statuses of life have many traditional duties, such as worshipping the forefathers to save them from possible sinful reactions. All such Vedic rituals, sacrifices, austerities, and so forth should be offered to the lotus feet of Lord Shri Krishna. They then become the transcendental means for going back home, back to Godhead. In other words, Krishna consciousness or loving service to Lord Shri Krishna is the sum and substance of progressive human life. 48. My dear saintly Uddhava, I have now described to you, just as you inquired, the means by which my devotee, perfectly engaged in his prescribed duty, can come back to me, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So what is the means to come back to him, which he described? To
offering all the results of his work or duties.
Dedicate your duties to Krishna in loving service, bhakti. Okay. One more comment by Satyaraj. He has some very interesting comments. Oh, he is quoting Professor Katovsky. He's asking Prabhupada, will you implement Varnashram Dharma? Prabhupada said, I will take the best from the original idea. So, this is what Prabhupada wanted to do. And Rasaraj comments, the mood of contemporary awareness and selective application are necessary if Varnashram is to prove useful in the modern age. So two things are required, according to him. his vision, contemporary awareness and selective application. Not that you just take, okay, this is the rule. It says here in the Vedas, you know, Manusamhita, Vedas. No, selective application has to be there. You can't just say anything goes. Okay. Any questions or comments on these verses of the 18th chapter in Varnashram Dharma? Yes. What was the question? Yeah, it's not that we not follow. Unless we have reached Nishta. Unless we have reached Nishta, it's not that we should continue following Varnashram. But at the same time, we should take this last advice that if there is something in the Varnashram which is an obstacle to your devotional service, then it should be rejected. You should not accept that. If it's an obstacle, if it's not favorable for devotional service, then that should be not accepted. Like a sannyasi, he doesn't follow the rules of the grihastha also. So yes, there are certain things in the Varnashram that if we follow, then it would obstruct our devotional service. So, yes?
You follow them and you come to a point where it's used its purpose and you can move on.
That's right. That's a good point. You follow the rules and then you come to the point where now the rule has served its purpose. Now you have become controlled in some way. You're able to follow. You will automatically or naturally follow the rule. It's not like you have to follow the rule, but automatically you will behave properly according to the mode of goodness when you come to a certain level. Yeah, nishta, you come to the mode of goodness, automatically you'll follow all the rules of proper behavior.
Demigod worship and all this? No.
Well, we can see this, what Prabhupada said to Professor Katowski. I will take the best from the original idea. And farming and everything. How to shoot arrows.
Because they are favorable.
Right. Yes, it's a favorable. Yeah, it's favorable. Are favorable. I mean, like one time Prabhupada was telling the reporter, three types of transportation. You know, by pigeon, by carpet. I forgot the third one. Yeah, so I mean, okay, you know, we're going to follow now. Who's going to ride the pigeon and who's going to ride the carpet? Yeah, it's like there's so many things in the Vedas, you know. And they asked Prabhupada, so why are you taking the airplane? And he said, to be one with you. To be one with you. Yes. Yeah, if you follow these rules, these amazing rules. Vanaprastha has to go wear tree bark and grass and, you know, people. What will people think?
How healthy body you need to do that.
Yeah, is that guy still out there? That
yes.
Python, yeah? He has a choice. That's his choice. He has a choice. His choice is that. No, that's a new one. He's new. He lies on the road between the main road. He lies on the Parikrama path between the main road and Krishna Balaram. We had a whole class about him. You must have missed it. Oh, they make it keep him warm. Well, he's really following that. Eh? They light the fire for him.
And sometimes they put some they put some food in front of him, and he didn't finish. It was there, so the dogs, like four dogs, came to finish it. And he was just lying and looking.
Oh my God. Well, I mean, they could do a whole TV program on him, you know.
Varnashram today.
Yeah, he talks. Yeah, he speaks philosophy. They say, right? He speaks very intelligently to the rich bossies and discusses. Oh, and Govinda was telling me, you know, when she You know, she passes at Mangalarti 4:30 in the morning, this guy, and every when she has a bad mentality, then he'll be scolding her. And she said the other day she was late, and he was going like this to her because she was late for Mangalarti. But when she's really nice, when she's feeling like good, and he starts singing bhajans, Jai Radha Govind, to her when she passes by. So he's a very interesting person. Yeah, some. I don't know. No. Yeah?
Shiva Ram Maharaj, just yesterday I read in his book, he says that the.
Which book?
Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani.
Okay.
He says that the heart of Varnashram Dharma is. Varnashram system is chanting and distributing the Hare Krishna Mahamantra.
Hare Bol. The heart of Varnashram is chanting and distributing Hare Krishna Mahamantra. From Shivaram Swami's book, Shuddha Bhakti Chintamani.
New book.
Well, not so new, but
well,
latest. Yeah.
He says that there are many aspects to it, and he says he will not discuss things like farms and this, but the heart of is chanting.
So that's why Prabhupada started with that. He started with chanting and the book distribution. And so actually, that Varnashram can be established on that basis.
Well, on that basis. In the age of Kali, the Ishtadev.
Yes,
Mahaprabhu,
right? No, it's Lord Chaitanya, Yuga Avatar, and he's worshipped by Harinam.
That's the yagya.
Yeah, the yagya is Harinam Sankirtan. Yes.
Somebody in the first canto of the Bhagavatam is talking about what qualities of a leader, and it says the first quality is that they're following the four regular principles, and then he says that in Parliament, before they start, they should have half an hour kirtan.
They should have a half an hour kirtan in Bollywood. Yes. Yeah, then the devotee who said, if I become the leader, I will abolish the liquor in the Parliament. No, I will close down the liquor shop, the bar in the American Parliament. It won't be very popular with them. It probably helps them to drink and then go to their meetings. Anyway, yes, it's Varnashram. The first thing is the purity. Purity is the force. So chanting Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, that purifies all the Varnas and Ashrams. And then you have the power to perform your duty. Purity is the force.
On that same point, I remember in England when before I joined the movement, and they started to put the House of Parliament on broadcast it over the radio.
Oh.
And then people commenting, you sound like a pack of animals.
You sound like?
Discussing, you sound like a pack of animals.
Pack of animals, yeah. 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 Sound like a pack of animals. In India, sometimes they fight.
They just shout at one another.
Yeah, they not only shout, they physically fight in India, and then they have to close it for a few days. I'm seeing. Oh, yeah, such and such punch this one. And yeah.
You have to learn, many things, the Prabhupada, how you apply these things. Like
The application.
Sannyasi, in this, according to this Varnashram system, it says that you have to always progress from one ashram to the next. You can't retrograde.
Yeah, regress.
You can't retrograde. But Prabhupada did not impose this kind of Varnashram rule on the
and the sannyasis. Yeah.
And those who are listening
to
their lives
and
the creatures.
Yes, I appreciate
it. It's actually there in Vishnu Purana, Chakravarti Thakur's commentary, where he says that there's this verse that one should go in order.
One should go in order.
Vishnu Purana says that it applies to normal people, but a bhakta, a devotee, he can go in a normal order, in a reverse order.
Okay. Oh, so Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur has said you can go in any, you can even go back.
But there you go.
Yeah, Prabhupada was.
The same principle
applying in his in a transcendental way, mm-hmm. according to bhakti. Yeah, he said that. That was in that purport to 8th canto, that if the sannyasi cannot maintain, he should take the grihastha or...
That the principles of varnashram should support bhakti, they should not stop bhakti.
Yes, right. That's a good point. They should support bhakti.
They should support bhakti, they should not stop bhakti.
Obstruct.
They should not obstruct
bhakti. Yes.
Yeah, and in a movement like our movement, that's supposed to be at the root of spiritual movement, we have to expect that we're going to have spiritualists in the movement.
Yes, people who have transcended the bodily concept of life.
To be expected that at least a few are going to be there, besides the masses that join for because it's beautiful, they like the folklore.
Right, exactly. Because the purity is the force, the spiritual, and it's going on spiritual energy. Yes.
Here's that quote.
Which one?
1.17.38.
Oh, 1.17.38? Okay, what does it say? Is it a perp, Vishwanath?
It's, yeah.
You highlighted it.
No, it's on here.
One should not enter the ashrams in reverse order. This is Vishnu Chakravarti. 11.17.38. And one should not be without ashram unless one is my devotee. One should not go reverse or be without ashram unless one is my devotee. If one is a devotee, then one doesn't have to follow the rules of ashram. This will be explained later. If a devotee enters ashrams in a different order or has no ashram, there is no fault. I think in one sense it's good that, you know, that the ladies have no ashram because then there's no rules. And then they don't try to... 11, 17, 38, is it? What is it? 38. 11, 17, 38. Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. It's from this book or it's from the...
Bhattamarash.
From Bhattamarash, okay. 38, comment by Vishwanath. Might be in this book. Let's see, 11, 17. 17 minus 6, 11. 11, 11. Because it's... Is it? Or is it 7? So 11... No, 11, 17. It will be 11 in here. So chapter 11. What is, do you know the name of the chapter?
The previous chapter.
Because chapter 11... Chapter would be chapter 11 in here.
Description of varnashrama system.
That's our chapter.
The previous one.
Previous 18. Chapter 17. Oh, it is 17. Okay, so we were in 18. So then 17, 38. See if it's here. Oh yeah, according to one's level of advancement, one should situate himself in one of the four ashramas. Generally, one is advised to advance from one ashram to another, brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprast, and sannyas. In this verse, it is indicated those who are not surrendered devotees of the Lord must rigidly observe the regulations governing one's authorized social status. Here, however, it is recommended a purified brahmana take to the renounced order of life, sannyas. If, however, one performs illicit activities on the strength of being transcendental to Vedic social division, one is revealed to be a materialistic neophyte. No, it's not here. It's in, only in Banaras. They didn't put it in this book. Okay?
It's there in Sanskrit.
In Sanskrit it's there, okay. Right. So, but don't think, you know, of doing that. It's not a good thing to do. And there, you know, there's also, but Prabhupada did allow that for his preachers, it's a fact. Those who were really preaching and giving everything, and you know, it was difficult for them. So he allowed them to be in the ashram where they could fight Maya better.
But for others, for who?
Those who are not completely surrendered and preaching, then you have to follow. You follow, go one to the next, one to the next, yeah. Looks like you need more surrender to follow the rules than not to follow. Well, yeah. Yeah, the actual varnashram, to follow the rules, it's not easy. It's difficult. So Prabhupada has given application for us. Yes. You'll just see the necessity of doing preaching work and helping
and
others.
But this is missing point. They didn't show how to.
Well, she was in.
She was showing Japamala to them.
Yes, this lady was preaching in front of the deities. Yes.
In England, Sri Rama used to be the BBC and in charge of Sankirtan as well, and he used to give Brahma initiation very easily to those who went out on Sankirtan.
Uh-huh.
That was his main reason, just what's being said there.
Yeah.
You know, they actually understood the need to go out and preach.
Right.
And, you know, you got.
Yeah, so he used to give very quickly Brahman initiation to those who go out and preach. Okay, so that's one application. Chance. Mm-hmm. No, that's natural. Right. Mm-hmm. Yes. It would be easier for them who are, you know, this is especially for those who are congregational persons, because what are they going to do? If they cannot be full-time in the temple and full-time outside preaching, then what they have to do something, right? So then they do what is their occupation. They have to do what is their varna. Well, actually, in India, Prabhupada didn't encourage the Indian ladies to stay in the temple.
Yeah.
He encouraged them to live outside and come. When I was in India the whole time, and he let the Western ladies stay in the temple. But in Calcutta, two Indian ladies, all of them, actually were four. There was Prabhupada's nephew's, Prabhupada's grandniece, mm-hmm. She had to stay outside and come and this Nirguna, Prabhupada's disciple, she was Indian, she had to stay outside and come. And Sachimata and Sumana, four Indian girls. And Jalatala was only 12 years old, like, or 13, when she was coming, this Prabhupada's grandniece. And they couldn't live in the temple with us. He let the Western ladies stay in the temple. He said, well, Indian culture is different. Indians shouldn't stay. Now it's like West. Now it's different. Now India, Bombay, Delhi. Now it's different. Well, that's our preaching. Chant Hare Krishna. Remain in your position and chant. That is what Lord Brahma has said in his prayers, and that is the verse which Lord Chaitanya has accepted as the beginning of bhakti. Just stay, remain in your position and chant Hare Krishna. 10:14:3. Right, that's there. Jayapataka Maharaj has a very like structured program that people start, you know, with just chanting one round and learning some specific prayers, and they follow different rules, and then they go up to becoming initiated. Jayapataka Maharaj. You can study in Mayapur his system. He has a whole system.
Eight rounds. Just how many people are coming and chanting?
So they have, there are
very developed
programs. Bhakti Viksha. Bhakti Viksha. Okay, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.